And I trust that you do. I ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to two places. Turn to Matthew chapter number 7 and Luke chapter number 11. Matthew chapter 7 and Luke chapter number 11. Matthew 7 and Luke 11. And I'm not preaching on 7-11, amen. But Matthew chapter 7 and Luke chapter number 11. In Matthew chapter number 7, if you've got your place, say amen. We'll jump in about verse number 7. And the Lord Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that seeketh, or everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" Let's go over to Luke. Luke, chapter number 11. In Luke chapter number 11, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his best, or because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Father, in Jesus' name tonight, Lord, I sure do need you. Thank you, God, for what you've done for us this morning. Thank you, God, for how you've blessed us throughout this day. God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you'd help us tonight for a little while. Lord, I pray you'd speak to hearts and our lives. Lord, I pray you'd speak to me and speak through me. God, I pray for those that aren't here tonight, Lord, for whatever reason there may be, may there be sickness, or maybe they be away from you. Lord, I pray you'd work in their heart. God, I pray you'd draw them back to us. And then I pray, God, for those that are here tonight, Lord, I pray that you'd help them to have, help us all, Lord, to have a spirit-filled ears to hear, Lord, what the Lord's got to say to us tonight. Lord, help us to glean from the Word of God. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd open up our minds. I pray you'd illuminate our minds and our hearts and help us to understand the Word of God. I pray you'd help us to receive it. And I pray you'd help us to have the patience to dwell in the Word of God and abide in the Word of God and let the Word of God abide in us and work in our life. And I pray, God, you'd have your perfect will and way tonight in this service. Thank you, God, for the good music. Thank you for the good singing. Lord, thank you for the good spirit of fellowship, Lord, that we've experienced tonight. But God, Lord, as we come to your word tonight, we realize that's the most important part of the message hour tonight. Lord, we realize that we need the Word of God more than anything tonight. Lord, we need to hear from heaven tonight. We need to hear from you and your word. We need to hear what you've got to say to us. And I pray, oh God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, you'd help us. Lord, I pray you'd stir us. Lord God, I pray you'd send revival to your people. God, I pray, Lord, for New Hope Baptist Church right here tonight. Lord, thank you for these people. But God, Lord, how we could use a good stirring. Lord, we could use a good change. And God, how we could use revival in and amidst us. Lord, a spirit of revival, Lord, could change this community, could change our families, Lord, could change the destiny of this very church. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd work. I pray, God, you'd help us. Lord, I pray you'd help us to admit where we're at. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to cling and seek your face and seek after you and follow after you, Lord, for what you want for in us and for us and through us. Lord, I pray you'd have your will and way. I pray, God, you'd speak to hearts tonight. Lord, help me. Lord, I pray, hide me behind the cross. I pray you'd fill me with the Holy Spirit. God, I pray you'd give me the unction to function tonight. Lord, in your power and your spirit, I pray you'd use me. I pray you'd help us in Jesus' name tonight. Lord, we sure do love you and thank you. Amen and amen. We've read here in Luke chapter number 11 and Matthew chapter number 7, an account where the Lord Jesus is with his disciples, and his disciples, according to Luke chapter number 11, have came to him, and they've asked the Lord Jesus to teach them to pray. In Matthew chapter number 7, the Lord Jesus gives them some instructions. And here in Luke chapter number 11, it's very similar, probably the same account from two different eyewitnesses looking from a different view of what exactly happened that day and what the Lord Jesus said. I wanted to look in both passages because both passages give us a couple little different details. Like I said, you've got the same account, but you've got two different men telling about that account and what they saw. And so it's good sometimes to read and get the parallel on that. But tonight I want to preach on this thought of prevailing prayer. Prevailing prayer. I'm afraid the Lord Jesus said that his house wasn't to be a den of thieves, but the Lord Jesus said his house was supposed to be a house of prayer. I'm afraid that in 2012, we've got all the programs we could shake a stick at. We've got books on how-tos. We've got seminars to go to. We've got all the little lines of this and that and this and that. And I'm afraid that we've got the music. I'm afraid we've got good things. We've got a lot of good things. But I'm awful afraid that we've gotten away from the most important thing that the Lord Jesus has us to do right here in this life, in the church, and in the Christian walk, and that is to talk to him, to pray. Can I say that prayer is more than just I lay me down, now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, that's one less test I have to take. Can I say that's not prayer, that's a poem? Can I say God is great, God is good, thank you Lord for this food? That's a poem. That's not prayer. Are you with me tonight? Don't die on me already. But because I'm telling you, what we need tonight is a revival of prayer. And I'm talking about prevailing prayer. I can go back and think about churches that used to have prayer meetings and would pack the church house. Amen. I'm talking about not for revival, not for a special singing. I'm not talking about for, some great evangelist worldwide known. I'm talking about prayer meeting. I'm talking about when God was working in the hearts and lives and people were being changed. I'm talking about we had prayer meetings where churches were packed and people would pray and they didn't come down to an altar, have a few little requests and pray for 2 or 3 minutes. You know, it's hard to get people to pray during prayer time anymore. I mean, we have prayer time around here, and I ain't trying to be mean, but it's hard to get people to pray when it's time to pray. I mean, when we designate just for prayer. But, I mean, how much time have you spent? I wouldn't raise my hand and embarrass myself, but how much time have you spent the last week in prayer? I mean, I've watched professing Christians. Most people don't even bow their head and pray over a hamburger anymore. I mean, we're so busy. I mean, you get up in the morning. Hey, you get up in the morning, you got one of these, or you got a big one at your house. You got your computer. You got your, everything you got to do. I'm so busy, man. And you know, I couldn't have got up 30 minutes earlier and spent time in prayer because I had to get up, you know, because I stayed up late watching something on television all night. And so then you stay up late, watch television, you go to bed half dead, you get up, and you're in a hurry, and you've got all these devices, and it's supposed to make life easier and save you time. And I'm afraid to tell you, all they do is take up your time and just give you more that you can do, and you can do more and more and more and more and more. And the devil, can I say the devil's got our minds so occupied. You say, oh, it's how you know it's the devil. He's the prince in the power of the air, I just want to remind you. He's the god of this world. He's the one that's blinded the minds of the world. And so what I'm saying is that prayer is what we need. We need to get back to prayer. This is what this passage is, both passages that we've read tonight. And I'm not just talking about saying a prayer. I get aggravated. It's a pet peeve. Somebody says, say a prayer for, say a prayer for. I know what they mean, but can I say we don't just need to say a prayer. We need to be in prayer. Say a prayer. Say a prayer. It's like you're saying a poem. I was in a Bible college just a few years ago. I was in a Bible college. I won't name no names or nothing, but it was in the greater Piedmont area. And we was standing there, and they called on this professor to stand up. I mean, he's supposed to be a man of God. And he stands up to have prayer and open up the chapel service. And he stands there, and I'm standing there, and I'm standing there. Brother Richard, I'm standing back there in the back of, or toward the back, and a fellow standing beside me, and the guy's, man, he's just going on and on and on and on. And I'm thinking, man. And, I mean, I don't care if you want to pray, but I said, man. And the guy besides me, he's poking me. And I'm like, man, he's praying. He says, look at it. And I look up there, and the guy's standing there like this. And da-da-da-da-da-da. I mean, and he's reading it off. I mean, he's I'm talking about in an independent Baptist, well, it used to be anyway. I don't know what it is now. Bible college. And I'm thinking, man, if you got a guy that can't even pray, are y'all with me tonight? I'm not trying to be crude, but if you got somebody leading a Bible college that can't even pray, I mean, he's got to print it off the internet and get up there and read it and quote. I don't care if he was reading a Bible verse. He ought to learn to pray. Prayer is talking to God. We read the Psalms, and many times the Psalms, it is the psalmist. It's a record of David talking to God in his prayer. Many times we see that throughout the Word of God. But he had to pray his own prayer. I've got to pray my own prayer. Learn to pray and talk to God. But prevailing prayer, can I say we need to learn this art, or not really an art, but the practice, can I use that word? We need to learn as Christians to get back to praying. Hey, we sing the song, I'd rather be an old-time Christian. Can I say something about old-time Christians? Old-time Christians used to pray. I remember when people used to, this ain't no joke, man. I remember being in camp meetings, and they'd have a tent set up in the middle of a field. And we'd get up in the mornings, and there's this old preacher, his name Milton Taylor. How many of y'all knows Milton Taylor? You know Milton Taylor down in Jordan? I think he's in South Carolina. And Milton Taylor, half deaf. I mean, he had hearing aids up. They turned him up so loud, and they squealed. I mean, he's up there preaching, and it's like, and Brother Milton Taylor, he's dead. He said, oh, Father, what's up? Heaven, how about that day? I had to get the prayer, and he get the thing. Turn up Romans chapter number 7 tonight. Tell him what Romans chapter, God, what? And, I mean, he couldn't talk. I mean, he can talk, but it wasn't real clear because of his deafness. But I remember as a child, I remember waking up at like 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm sleeping on a bunk bed in a camp, and I'm hearing something, oh, God, I got it, I need you, God, I got it, we need you, God. And I look out there, and I'm walking across the hill. I'm talking about like for probably a half a mile, that man's walking. He's probably 300-400 yards from where I'm at, and it sounds like he's right beside me. Oh, God, we need you, God, we need you, God, we need your touch. God, we need your power. God, forgive us, I said, and pray, and pray, and pray. And there's no wonder when a man like that prays like that when he gets in the pulpit and he's got the power of God. And I wondered, man, the Lord convicted me last night. I've been in study. I studied all day. I prayed a lot of the time. And then I got up when I got done, hey, with the message that I was going to preach this morning. I got done, and I'm about to walk out the door. And God said, wait a minute, you ain't prayed long enough. I thought, man, I just prayed. He said, no. He said, you expect to have the power of the old timer's head and never to spend the time in prayer that they used to spend? And I'm afraid that as churches, that's what we've got. We've got a lot of churches. We've seen what God has done. We've seen what he's done down through the years. And we've seen a lot of that. But I'm just trying to simply say that if we want the power of God, we're going to have to tap into the power source. And I'm going to preach myself up underneath the altar tonight. But we need to get back to prevailing prayer. We need to get back down. We need more than church. We need more than 2-minute prayers. It's going to take more than, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for watching over us. Good night. It's going to take more than, Lord, be with me throughout this day. Thank you for another new morning. I'm gone. It's going to take more than, Lord, thank you for this food in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm talking about prevailing prayer. And let me say something about prevailing prayer. I'm going to give you a few things tonight out of these scriptures the best I can about prevailing prayer. And prevailing prayer is not just saying a prayer. Prevailing prayer, I'm talking about prayer that gets a hold of God and gets an answer. Are you with me? I'm talking about praying and praying through. The old timers used to say, pray through, pray through. Get down on that altar and pray through. I said, I can't meet one night. And I won't tell you who he was. Some of y'all might know him. But I was praying. Me and another fellow was standing there, kneeling there beside. And I got done praying. I went down and prayed. I really felt like I prayed. I got up and I walked back over her. I sit on the front row and I sit down. And that preacher looked at me and he said, son, you need to go on back down the altar. I ain't prayed long enough. Man, that guy's crazy. But you know what? He grew up in a generation. He grew up in a generation where people went to the altar and they prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed until they knew they got through and until they knew they got an answer. And what I'm saying tonight is we need to get a hold of God. We need as a church to learn that, hey, when we go, hey, we sing songs about mama's prayers and daddy's prayers. Hey, we need to learn how to have our own prayer life. We need to learn how, when we go to God, hey, that we know we get through, that we know we're going to get an answer, that we know we can get in touch with heaven. I'm telling you, these children right here, hey, I'm glad they're in church, but I'm going to tell you what's going to make a difference in their lives is for some church members and some bus workers and some Sunday school teachers and some church members around them to get a hold of God and pray for them and pray on their behalf and pray down the power of God and pray for the preacher and pray for them and pray for their families and pray that God makes a difference in their life. I'm telling you, we need prevailing prayer. I'm telling you, prevailing prayer is what it's going to take to put homes back together. Prevailing prayer is what it's going to take to see souls saved like we used to see. Hey, prevailing prayer is what it's going to take to send revival to this church. Prevailing prayer is what it's going to take to send revival to the United States of America. Can I say it's not going to come in a Republican? It's not going to come in a Democrat. It's not going to come in some Green Party, whatever that is. Let me say, they can resurrect the Whig Party. But I'm telling you, until some Americans learn to seek God and get a hold of God and pray and to seek His face and to humble ourselves and to get a hold of God and go to God in prevailing prayer and getting through and praying through. Hey, we're doomed, friends. You're fooling yourself if you think another welfare plan or some kind of socialist order. Hey, if you're fooling yourself, what I'm saying is if you think that's going to turn this thing back around, you're crippled too high for crutches. God's people need to learn how to get back in touch with God. I'm afraid we're playing too many games in the church. I'm not against having fun. We'll take our young people. We'll have a good time. Look up in here, Mom and Daddy. We need to teach these young people how to walk with God, and how to talk with God, and how to be in touch with God, and how to know that when you need something from God, you can go to Him. This ain't charismatic, name it, claim it. This is King James Bible. Ask in Jesus' name, and He said He'd do it. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. I'm talking about walking with God. And when you need it, young people, you can have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and you can walk with Him and have communion with Him and abide in His Word and His Word in you. And you can walk with Him, not with this world. And you can be so close to Him that you have divine communion and fellowship with Him that when you need something, you can go to Him and He'll answer your prayer and He'll give you what you need. Say the first thing about prevailing prayer. Let me say this. It's born out of a desire. I'm going to give you 4 points. Prevailing prayer is born out of desire. You say, preacher, where do you get that? Well, the very meaning and the definition of what prayer is. John R. Rice said, he wrote a book on prayer, and the book was called Asking and Receiving. Asking and Receiving. A prayer is a seeking or an asking, a begging, an entreating of God. Prayer is God's appointed way. Listen to this. Prayer is God's appointed way that we as His children may obtain the things that we need according to His will. If you need amoxicillin tonight, you'll go see your doctor and he'll write you a prescription. You with me? If you need medicine, you go to the doctor, he'll write you a prescription. If you need something for your vehicle, you go see the mechanic, he gives you what you need. But if you've got a need that none of them can feel, you can go to Dr. Jesus. You can go to King Jesus. Look up in here. You can go to Him in prayer and in prevailing prayer, and you can get through with Him. And you can know that, hey, if you've got a need, you can go and take your petition. You can take your burden. You can take your care, and you can go to Him, and He cares, and He'll answer your prayer. Prayer begins, prevailing prayer is born out of a desire. I mean, it's a calling and a crying out. It's a communicating with God. Prayer is not some mystical pie in the eye, some little spiritual. I'll tell you what prayer is. Prayer is you talking to God. Prayer is communication with the Heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say, you say, preacher, it starts with desire. Yes, prayer, prevailing prayer, is born out of desire. I'll tell you why we don't have revival. Because we don't desire revival. Now, we want a meeting. We want to see the pews packed. We want to have an emotional rush, but we're not praying for revival. See, we're too afraid it's going to change our life if we have revival. We're too afraid it'll change where we spend our money and where we spend our time. Y'all might as well listen because I came to preach tonight. Hey, I'm talking about prevailing prayer. When we have a desire for revival and we cry out to God and we don't give up until He sends revival, it'll come when we got a desire to have our lives changed. When we come in here and say, preacher, preach all you want, bless me if you can. Hey, it ain't for me, I'll shove it over the shoulder. Somebody else needs what you got tonight. Hey, with attitudes like that, we'll never have revival. Right. We got to be like the old time song said, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Right. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And I'm telling you tonight, we got to get back to having a desire. People say, oh, these people want to see loved ones say, but do they really? It sounds good to say, pray for my loved one, but how bad do you really want to see them saved? I mean, what are you willing to do? There's ladies, and I'm not pointing at anybody in this church, but there's ladies that they don't want their husband to beat them. They don't want their husband to waste their check on alcohol or drugs. They don't want their husband to run around on, but they don't want him to get a good dose of salvation where he comes to church every service, tithes, gives offerings, gives demissions, runs bus routes, does everything that he can to serve the Lord. No, they don't want that radical of a change. They just don't want him to beat them. God used me. God used me. God used me. God used me. But do it right here. See, we don't have a real desire for God to use. When you want God to use you, you say, God, use me, and use me where you want, how you want, when you want. I'm talking about getting back to a desire. I'm talking about God send revival, and what we really mean is God drop gas prices. God turn our nation around, and what they're really saying is, God, please give us a tax break. No, but when we get a desire, that we want God to touch our nation and to turn it upside down and change it for the glory of God. I'm telling you, it's going to be more than just a passing whim. It's going to be more than, oh, I thought about that today. I saw something bad on the news. We need to pray. No, it's going to be an everyday thing. It's going to be you get up burdened for your country. You get up burdened for your loved ones. You get up burdened for your family. You get up burdened for your lost loved ones. You get up burdened in your heart needing revival and saying, God, it's not going to be good enough to be close. I got to be real close. I want to be with you. I want to be daily walking with you. I want that communion. I don't want anything to come in between us. You're going to have that desire. I'm telling you, that's where prevailing prayer is born. Nobody has ever prayed and prayed through and got an answer to prayer that didn't have a desire for what they were seeking. Nobody. Well, think about it. It's born of a desire. But let me say this, prevailing prayer is not only born of desire, but it becomes determined. See, many times we start out good. We start out with maybe a little bit of desire. We might begin to pray, but if our prayer is not answered, you know, on the first day or after the first time we pray it, we don't become determined. We become discouraged. And in turn, we become defeated. But prevailing prayer will become determined. It's not going to give up. It's not going to have, you know, I'll tell you what prevailing prayer is. Prevailing prayer is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. That's prevailing prayer. Prevailing prayer is Luke 18:1, where Jesus spake his parable. He spake a parable unto them saying, hey, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Always to pray. That don't mean you got to always be on a kneeling posture. Matter of fact, there's times in the Bible where people prayed standing up. They prayed laying down. They prayed kneeling down. Prayed sitting down. It's not a matter of the posture of your body as much as it is the posture of your heart. But prevailing prayer realizes that it may not happen the first time, but we keep on. And on and on. Watch what the Bible says here in Luke chapter number 11 in verse number 9. Jesus said, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. The tense is ask and keep on asking. It's not ask one time. It's ask and keep on asking. It's seek and keep on seeking. It's knock and keep on knocking. Lord, I need. Lord, I need. Lord, I need. Lord, I'm praying for this. Lord, I'm praying for this. Lord, where are you? Lord, I'm seeking you, God. Well, we'll do it one day. Well, it didn't happen tonight, so I give up. Well, they didn't get saved this week, so well, he just can't save them. We didn't have revival this week. He can't do it. I give up. And we wave the white flag. But prevailing prayer that's born of a desire, it will become determined. It's not going to give up. It's going to get alone with God. It's going to continue to seek his faith. You say, preacher, how do you know? Well, I'll show you here in some. But look in Luke 11, verse number 8. Jesus gives us a picture here. In verse 5 through 8, he's talking about, he said, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, is coming to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Here's the picture of somebody going to his friend, needing some bread to give somebody. And he's going to him. The fella's already at home. He's already in bed for the night. And the picture is, the guy's like, look, I can't get up. It's past my bedtime. Go somewhere else. Watch verse 8. Jesus said, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend. Y'all with me? He said, he's not going to get up just because he's your friend. He said, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now, I know y'all don't use the word importunity much, so I got some definition for you. That word importunity, it means his shamelessness, his disregard of consideration, his impudence, his shameless perseverance. It means to have no regard to time, to place, to person. He is pertinacious. He comes and he's asking. He comes and he's seeking. He comes and he's knocking. He don't care he don't care what the neighbors think. He don't care what the people beside him think. You may say no, and he's, hey, I need some help. No, no, I need some help. Let me say there's a lot of wishy-washy talk through the church. There's a lot of people that, well, if you pray for it, if it's God's will, he's going to give it to you. God knows what you need. You don't need to pray for it but one time. If you've got to pray for more than once, you really don't believe. Let me say that right now. That's just hogwash. That's not even biblical. All right? Can I help you? That's not even biblical. Jesus prayed at least 2 or 3 times in the garden. If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. On and on, the Bible examples as men that God alone with God. Let me just say this, if you want to know about prayer, if the Lord Jesus needed to pray, and let me say, he gave some time. There were times he prayed through the night. There were times he prayed for hours. There were times he got alone with God on the mountain, and he got up there and prayed to the Father. Can I say, if Jesus needed to pray to the Father, you and I need to pray to the Father. And I'm telling you, it's going to have to become determined. This is not somebody that, hey, you got any bread? Okay. Hey, can I come in? Okay. No. Can I come in? Hey, can I come in? This is the idea. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek. Not. And so sooner or later, you say, look, this dude, he's not going to give up. Because of his importunity, he'll get up and give him as much as he needs. I think I done lost half of you. Praying and seeking God's face with no regard to time, no regard to place, no regard to persons and who. Well, what are they going to think if I keep praying for my husband? What are they going to keep praying what are they going to start thinking if I keep praying for this? And I pray, you know, like for 20. Let me say, can I encourage some of you ladies that's got husbands that's lost? I know a lady personally. I mean, I know her real good. She's one of my mom's best friends growing up. She prayed for her husband for 22 years. Look up in here, young people. Ain't nothing back there. Hey, 22 years. Y'all listening to me? She prayed faithfully 22 years. For a husband that said, I ain't going to church, I ain't got nothing to do with it, I don't want nothing to do. 22 years. 20, y'all get that? That's 11 plus 11. That's 22 years. 20 plus 2. 18 plus 4. 22 years. You with me? How many of y'all, I mean, to be honest with you, I'd give up. Not 22 days. 22 years. And let me just add this, that during those 22 years, she was faithful in her walk and in her testimony while she was praying for him. She didn't give him reasons not to get saved. She was faithful. She was faithful to church. She raised her little girls up in church all around him. 22 years. He never did go to church with her, Brother Robbie. He never would come. But one day he was at work, and he went and worked. And he went in one of them stalls where you sit down once in a while, and he saw some literature to read. He picked up something, Brother Rodney, and began to read it. Amen. And taught him how he must be born again. Amen. And he read it. By his testimony, the best I understood it was he fell down in his office at work and asked the Lord to save him. And if I know him tonight, his name's Jim, and it's 7 o'clock. Is it 7 o'clock? Almost 7 o'clock. If I know him, he's sitting in church this evening. 22 years is why I prayed for him. 22 years. I've read of missionaries who went in, I think it was Adoniram Judson, went into the field, and for years he didn't have a convert, but he continued to pray. He continued to pray. He continued to preach the word, and years went by. The missions board said, you ought to give up. You ought to give up, but continue to pray. And there's people saved on another continent tonight because somebody didn't give up. I'm telling you tonight, hey, prevailing prayer, don't give up. Prevailing prayer becomes determined. Prevailing prayer, it keeps on seeking, and it keeps on asking, and it... You ever had somebody that wouldn't leave you alone? I mean, they just wouldn't leave you alone. I ain't naming no names, but y'all know what I'm saying. Somebody just, I mean, really and honestly, if we be honest with you, they just kind of annoyed you. Y'all with me? And they wouldn't leave you alone. And finally, you said, all right, some of y'all probably got a kid like that. All right, go ahead. Now, I'm not saying God gets the attitude, all right, go ahead. But the idea here of prayer is to keep on and keep on and keep on and show him how determined you are. We're too busy getting discouraged. It's too easy to quit. Man, it's too easy to quit in our whole society and everything. I'll just hit this for a second. You got kids out there playing ball. Brother Robbie, when I was growing up, man, if a kid was playing baseball, and I'm talking picked up. I'm not talking about on the team, you know, with uniforms. I'm talking about we picked up teams out there in the ball field. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Sandlot baseball, whatever you want to call it. I'm going to tell you one thing. When they started to lose like 11-1 or whatever, when they started dropping off when I'm quitting, that made me fighting mad. I ain't never liked a quitter. Now we got them, you know, well, we got slaughter rule. If you're losing, I'm talking about the real teams quitting. That's, let me say this nicely. That's hogwash. Don't teach nobody to quit. And I'm afraid it bleeds over into our prayer life. We don't get it easy. It don't come instant, you know. We got to have everything instant, like instant mashed potatoes, instant cream of wheat. I want the real deal, man. Cut me up some Idaho spuds and throw them in the pot. Amen? Y'all should have said amen on Idaho spuds. The real deal. Cut me up taters. You ask my wife, I don't like instant taters. Amen? Do I? Amen? I'll eat them if I have to, because y'all know what I'm saying. I ain't getting kicked out. But if you want to make me happy, I like them with a little bit of lumps in them. I don't like them real creamy. I like a lump once in a while to let me know it was a real tater. And I ain't talking about a lump of that powder that didn't get mixed up. I'm talking about a lump of tater. Somebody said, we like them creamy. Well, if we didn't get lumps growing up, we'd have starved to death. And that goes for the gravy and the taters. Amen. Too easy to quit. Too easy. Too easy. We need some people that, hey, get a desire and learn we can go to God and begin to pray. It's born of desire. It becomes determined. But let me say this about prevailing prayer. Prevailing prayer is not only born of desire, it not only becomes determined, but let me say prevailing prayer beckons deity. Prevailing prayer beckons deity. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about when we pray, and we're praying prevailing prayer. It's not me, you know, having a need, so I call, you know, the deacons and say, hey, I don't want to call the preacher, but you know, I need some money. I can't pay my bills. Knowing good and well they're going to go tell the preacher, and then they're going to feel sorry for you and take up an offering or give you money. Or nothing wrong with people needing. I'm not knocking anybody needs need tonight. But I'm talking about when you want a prevailing prayer life. I'm talking about when you've got a desire that you know that you've got the confidence that you can go to God. And you don't have to drop little bugs in people's ear around the church to get your need met. But you can get on your knees in your prayer closet and you can call out to your Father and He knows what needs you have. You can go to Him and you can continue in prayer and you can keep asking and you can keep seeking and you can keep knocking and you know that He's going to answer your prayer. You don't have to tell nobody. You don't have to call the neighbors. You don't have to get on the hotline on the telephone, tell everybody in the county what you have need of. You've got a Father in heaven that cares. You've got a Father in heaven that listens. You've got one that, hey, wants to hear from you and He'll answer your prayer and you know you can get a hold of it. I'm telling you, you beckon deity. You're beckoning, you're waving, you're calling His attention. You're saying, hey, I'm calling you, I'm asking, I'm seeking you, I'm not worried about nobody else. God, I need you. I need you to intervene in this situation. God, I need you to save my loved ones. God, I need you to meet this need. Not an earthly father, a heavenly father. Look what Jesus said in verse number 11. He said, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will He give him a stone? Or if you ask him fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will He offer him a scorpion? The idea is, if your child asks you for something, you're going to give him what he needs. You're not going to give him something bad in place of it. Y'all with me? Verse 13. He says, if you then being evil, that word evil, it has the idea that they're depraved. They are of the fleshly sort. They're not heavenly. The idea is they're not deity. They're not God. If you being evil, you being of this earth, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Now in Matthew chapter number 7, he said something like this. He said, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Now, just in a little brief context, in Luke, before the Holy Spirit indwelled all believers, they would pray for the Holy Spirit. You don't have to pray for the Holy Spirit. When you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit. If you didn't get the Holy Spirit, you didn't get saved. Amen. Romans 8:9. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Just wanted to add that in. But he's talking about good things. If your father, you got a child, Haley comes to you, and she says, Daddy, this is what I need. And I'm not talking about an ice cream cone. She's got a legitimate need. And she comes to you and says, Daddy, I need this and I need this. She's not gonna go to somebody else's daddy. She's gonna go to her own daddy. He's using the comparison. He said, look, if you know how to give your child, your son, your daughter, if you know how to give your child something on this earth, you're an earthly father. You're made of flesh. But you know that you care about your child enough that you're going to give them what they need. He said, watch, not just like, but he said, how much more? Do you see that in verse number 13? He said, how much more shall your heavenly Father? The comparison here is an earthly father and heavenly father. Now, prevailing prayer, some of y'all might have a good earthly father. I don't have the opportunity. I don't have the privilege. My dad passed away. He's in heaven tonight. I thank God for his testimony. I'll see him again one day, but I can't call him tonight when I've got a need. If I needed $1,000 tonight, I couldn't call my daddy. Are you with me? But I can cry, Abba, Father. He's a heavenly father. Hallelujah, I know that He cares. And He's got everything I need. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and He owns the hills too. Amen. And I can call Heavenly Father. I can call Him tonight. And I can say, God, I got a need. It may not be money. It may be spiritual. It may be physical. It may be something going on tonight in my life. Maybe something in your life. You need to get a hold of somebody. Let me warn you. Let me just caution you. Let me give you a little instruction. You don't need to call the county hotline. You don't need to put it in the Winston-Salem Journal. You don't have to take an ad out on Facebook. What you need to do is get on your knees and call out to your Father in heaven. Say, Father, I got a need. Father, I got something that, hey, only you can handle. God, I need you to. God, I need you to answer me. God, I need you tonight. God, I need you to see me through this situation. God, I need you to meet this need. God, I need you to pay this bill. God, I need you tonight, and only you can meet this need. And I'm telling you, you've got a Father that just like your earthly father may know how to give you a good gift. He may know how to meet your need. You've got a Heavenly Father that's so much more. Everybody ought to say so much more. Look at your neighbor and say so much more. So much more. It's all right. They ain't going to tell nobody we're Pentecostals. Hey, just look at your neighbor and say so much more. How much more? How much more would your Father give you good things if you ask? I'm telling you, prevailing prayer beckons deity. Now I will say, and I'll give you a few notes here, that beckoning deity and calling out to the Father, there are some conditions for prevailing prayer. I won't spend time and turn to every one of these, but I'll say this in 1 John 5:14 and 15, you're going to learn that when you pray prevailing prayer, you pray according to His will. You pray according to His will. And He said, if you pray according to His will, He'll do it. All right? According to His will. So it may not be God's will to give me $1,000. Are y'all with me? Look up in here. His will is not fulfilling fleshly desire. God, I believe it Your will to give me a Lexus. Now, that'd be my desire. I wouldn't turn one down. If He wants to give it to me, hey, pull it up in the parking lot and park it there and show me the key. But that may not be His will for my life. Matter of fact, I don't believe it is. All right? Are you with me? Now, Brother Rodney, you look at him and like, if you want to buy it and put it there with my name on it, I'll drive. Hey, but what I'm saying is, that may not be God's will for my life. But if I learn the Word of God, I'll know the will of God. And if I pray according to His will, by abiding in Him, John 15:7, abide in Him. He said, abide in me and my word abide in you. He said, you'll ask anything in my... What? Well, I'll just turn over to John chapter... Y'all, I'm going to read you a couple verses in John. In John 15:7, He said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Look up in here. This ain't Benny Hinn. This is Jesus Christ. Are y'all with me this morning, this afternoon, whatever it is? John 15:16, Jesus said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. I'm not making this up. I'm telling you, prevailing prayer starts with the desire. It begins with the desire. It becomes determined. It don't give up, but it beckons deity. You pray according to His will. John 14:13, I believe it is. You ought to mark this verse in your Bible. John 14:13, Jesus said, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So you pray according to His will, and you pray in the name of Jesus. You say, what does that mean, to pray in the name of Jesus? Well, let me help you out. Praying in the name of Jesus don't just mean saying in Jesus' name. Praying in Jesus' name is when you learn the will of God and the Word of God, so that when you go to prayer and you go to your Father and you're praying according to the Word and the will of God, you're saying, Father, and I'm praying these things coming to you in Jesus' credit. Think about this. You go to the bank and you say, look, Travis Howard wrote me a check for $5,000. I need you to cash it. They're going to look at you and say, Travis who? We can't cash that check. There's nothing here to back it up. You with me? Y'all with me? I promise you, Travis Howard ain't got $5,000. You ain't going to get that check cashed. But now, you let Michael Jordan write you a check for $5,000. Walk in there. And I say, man, that's a multimillionaire. Sure, we'll cash that check. Be happy to. You know why? Because you went in there with his credit behind you. Can I say to you, when you beckon deity, when you call on God, and you go to him according to his will, in the name of Jesus, you're calling out and saying, God, I'm not praying this on my credit. I'm not praying this on my merit and what I've done. Because I realized that I couldn't even come to your throne of grace except for the blood of Jesus gave me a way of access to your throne of grace. And so you realize that when you go to the Father, you're going in the name or on the credit of the Lord Jesus Christ that made a way for you to go. And when you go, hey, when he sees that, he says, hey, man, you're according to my will. You're in the name of Jesus. Here you go. And you say, here's something else. You pray in the Spirit. Jude talked about praying in the Spirit. Romans 8 talked about Spirit making intercession for you. You learn to pray in the Spirit. And that's letting God pray through you. Because he'll always pray the will of God. His words are abiding you. You're abiding him. These are just some notes here on how you beckon deity. Some guidelines. But let me say this. Prevailing prayer is born of desire. It becomes determined. It beckons deity. But I want to say this. Prevailing prayer brings dividends. Prevailing prayer brings dividends. Look what Jesus said in verse number 9. He said, ask, and it might be given unto you. Seek, and you got a good chance you'll find. Knock, and the likelihood is pretty high that it'll be open. For everyone that asketh, sometimes gets. And he that seeketh, once in a while finds. And to him that knocking, sometimes is open. That ain't what the Bible said, is it? If it is, you got the wrong Bible, throw it in the trash, and we'll get it later. This is what he said. I'm going to go back and read it one more time out of the King James. He said, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you that prevailing prayer, I'm talking about prayer that don't give up, prayer that's born of a desire, prayer that's in Jesus' name, prayer that's beckoning deity, it brings dividends. There'll be rewards. There'll be answers to your prayer. It'll be that call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. Go back to Matthew chapter number 7. The Lord Jesus said, and there, he said, if ye then being evil know how to give your good gifts unto your children, how much more, there it is again, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? How much more? How much more? Well, I was thinking about George Mueller. Everybody, I don't know if you know George Mueller, but George Mueller, man of God, in years gone by, he had orphanages and great men of prayer. George Mueller. Man, I'm talking about a man of prayer. I'm talking about, they said George Mueller, he was in England, and he had these orphanages. And they said there were times when George Mueller gathered the children around the supper table. One time in particular, Miss Gladys, I'm thinking about, they talked about it, that he had all these children gathered around the table to eat, but there's no food. No food. He just gets them around the table. And he begins to pray. And he begins to thank God for the food they're about to receive. Now they're looking around thinking, what food? There is no food. The people there helping him, there's no food. And before he got done praying, Brother Dennis, they said there was a knock on the door. They opened the door and they said, Mr. Mueller, we're from, I think it was a food bank. They said, we're from whatever it was, the food bank down the road. We're just going to say food bank because I can't remember who it was. But he said, we're from down the road, and we got all this food. We got to do something with it. We ain't got nowhere to keep it. Can y'all use it? Now, I know that's just coincidence. No, that's a man that knew how to walk with God and knew what prayer was all about. George Mueller, they said George Mueller prayed during his ministry. They said he prayed, listen to this, 60 plus years for two gentlemen. Two gentlemen that he knew, he prayed over 60 years. Y'all with me? He prayed over 60 years for these two gentlemen to be saved, for the salvation of their soul. George Mueller was about to die. I think it was the last time he stood to preach and have a service in his ministry. One of those men got saved. One of them. Now, he prayed for 60 plus years for two men specifically. One of them got saved at George Mueller's last meeting. The other one didn't get saved, but George Mueller died. And less than a year after he died, his prayer was answered. The second man got saved. You say, what's that all about? I'm telling you, you may not always see the answer in your lifetime, but I'm telling you, prevailing prayer brings dividends. I'm thinking about you saying, preacher, I couldn't pray like that. Preacher, I'm not a great man of God. Preacher, I'm not that. I'm not this. I'm not George Mueller. Can I say to you, every revival that ever has happened is a result of somebody getting alone with God and praying. I'm thinking about the great revival in Wales, what they were doing when that young lady stood up and said, I just want you to know I love Jesus. And the revival hit Wales. I'm talking about a revival that they said was so great. Brother Jimmy, they said the revival was so great that the men that worked in the mines and had the mules, they said they had to go back and get different mules and retrain them because the mules didn't understand their talk anymore because their language was so different because they quit using profanity on the mule. The mules didn't answer because they didn't understand them anymore. That's how much their life was changed. But it started with a little group of people in a prayer meeting. That's where it started. Man, you could go to the Great Awakening. You could go to the Jonathan Edwards and the George Whitfields and the great meetings and the revivals they saw. They started with prayer. David Brainerd in Africa started with prayer. I'm telling you, every last one. Preacher, I'm not a great missionary. I'm not a great preacher. Why? Hold on. I want you to turn with me, and I'm done. To James chapter number 5. I promise you, I'm done. I'm going to give you this, and I'm done. I'm going to the house. James chapter number 5. In James chapter number 5 and verse number 16, the Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer. Not just the prayer, but the effectual, fervent prayer. That word effectual, fervent, it comes from the word that we get energy out of. The interjected, the word, the prayer of power, the prayer that knows how to get along with God, the prayer that gets a hold of God, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then I like this. He gives us a good Bible illustration. Elias, verse 17, Elias, that's Elijah. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. That means he's just like us. He goes through the same temptations, the same lusts, same passions. He was a man subject to like passions as we are. And watch this. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Wow. Verse 18. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. What about that? Coincidence, right? He prayed, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again, and it rained, so that the earth would bring forth fruit. So what do you say that for, preacher? Because I want you to know, you're not disqualified. Elias wasn't some super saint that you could never reach his status. The Bible said he was a man of like passions, like as we are. Can I say that if you'll get a desire, I mean you'll get a hunger and a thirst and a burning desire and a burden for something according to God's will. And I'm talking to these young people. If I'm telling you, you ain't got to be an adult. If you'll walk with God, get in His Word, let His Word abide in you. Adults, it's good for you. It's not always the young people. I'm sick and tired. Let me just hit that for a second. I'm sick and tired of seeing youth getting all revived and going up in all these youth meetings and seeing youth getting excited. And then mom and daddy sitting on the back room saying, well, they'll die out in 3 weeks. They might, but they might keep going if you get in and with them. Just thought I'd throw that in for free while I was going by. Elias was a man of like passions, like as we are. If Elias can get his prayers answered, you can. But it's the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If you got sin in your heart tonight, you ain't getting through. If you got bitterness in your heart, that might be the reason why we don't pray. Maybe it's because we don't have a desire, but maybe it's because we're too dirty. I mean, it's not real hard to understand. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Preacher, I've been praying and I've been asking. I check up and make sure there's no iniquity in my heart, no bitterness, no hard feelings, no odd, no wickedness. I'm telling you, church, I'm not trying to be crazy and real radical. But I'm going to say if we're going to be radical about anything, it better be our prayer life. And there's nothing going to happen in this church or any other church worth eternal value that don't start with a prayer. Burning desire that goes to God and beckons deity and gets alone. God, if it's going to happen, it's going to be because you do it. God, if I'm going to be a preacher that pleases you and go have the power and the unction to preach, God, it's going to be because you got your hand on me and you use me. God, if you use me in the choir, not just to stand there and take up space and lollygag and look at the ceiling while we sing, but God, if you're going to use me to sing, hey, and sing your glory down and sing with power and sing to where it makes an effect on the service and gets people's attention and glorifies God, God, it's going to be because you use me. God, if you're going to use me in a Sunday school class as a Sunday school teacher and you're going to give me the ability to teach and give me the energy to teach and the energy to keep on going, God, it's going to be because you do it. God, if you're going to use me as a soul winner on the job or on the visitation program or wherever it's at, God, if you're going to use me and make my life an effective witness and an effective testimony, God, it's going to be because you touch me and you give me the power. God, I can't do it on my own. I got to help you. Starts with a desire. I'm telling you, starts with a desire. Everything we do has got to start with a desire. It's got to become determined. It's got to beckon deity, go to God. And I'm telling you, if we'll get along with God and we'll seek His face and we'll pray, I'm telling you, if we'll pray like the old timers, we might have church like the old timers. I just want to be real simple. But you can't expect the results from years gone by if you don't pour out in prayer like years gone by. I know what Granny and Papa, I met a man one time, it's probably been 7, 8, 9 years ago. I met him down in Clemens. He was an older fella. He had cancer. He was about to die. He's probably dead now. I don't know. But he was an old time, he was telling me about where he grew up and all this. And he said, son, I remember when we used to go to prayer meetings. And he said, it hadn't rained all summer. And he said, we called a prayer meeting. And he said, son, he said, we got in the car and headed to the church to have prayer meeting one afternoon. He said, it hadn't prayed for months. He said, and we took our umbrellas. You know what else he told me? He said, we needed them when we left. Father, best I know how, I've preached what you put on my heart tonight. Father, Lord, I really believe tonight, Lord, if we get a hold of this message and, Lord, let it get a hold of our hearts, Lord, I believe you could use it to turn our church upside down. Lord, to radically change our homes and our lives individually. God, the best I know how, Lord, I've delivered the burden that you put on me. God, I pray for these people tonight. I thank you for them. God, Lord, I don't want nothing more than to see you working in their lives and to see them living for you and to see their prayers answered, to see their loved ones saved, see revival throughout this community. Oh, Lord, sure, I'd love to see the pews filled, but, Lord, I'd like to see that as a result of people being saved. Lord, I'd like to see us have a burden for lost souls. Lord, I pray you'd take this message. And God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Maybe just not tonight, but maybe as we go home, Lord, help us not to discard the word of God that's been preached. Help us, Lord, to take it home with us. God, I pray you'd help us all through the week to meditate on it and to understand that we need to get back to prevailing prayer. God, have your will and way tonight. We'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.